And, you know, and there's also another lesson here. And I think that is that you can't predict what opposing counsel will do if you're not careful and you end up filing something that's not accurate or even just dead wrong. You could be in a situation where opposing counsel takes an approach like I did, you know, relatively low key, but you all also could find yourself on the wrong end of a sanctions motion. And our paper describes several situations involving lawyers who found themselves in that position. And their example, I hope, will motivate all of us to try to make to try harder to make sure we take the time that's needed to be accurate, to accurately inform the courts about the law and the facts in our cases. No, we do not want to be those lawyers. If your reputation as a lawyer takes a serious hit, it's hard to come back from that. And I'm going to end with one of my all-time favorite quotes. It's from Martin Luther King Jr., and it has some relevance here. So I thought I'd share it with you. It's, you know, a very brief quote, but I think it's very rich in meaning. That is, a lie cannot live. And with that, I'll pass back to you, Jennifer. I bet you really have some great stories to share with us.
Actually, I appreciate very much your presentation, because being with a very small firm and always having been with a small firm and having spent almost 9 years at the Attorney General's office, I'm very familiar with having to come up against a big firm or someone with a sterling reputation and looking at the cases and going, am I missing something here? And it always surprises me. The worst thing I've seen from opposing counsel is quite different. I mean, I get frustrated by the kitchen sink pleas to the jurisdiction, and I think a lot of private practice attorneys do. And that's really different than what you're talking about. I mean, I get frustrated with seeing pleas to the jurisdiction that really don't apply, but at the same time, I recognize that if you don't raise it, have you failed to actually raise an issue for your client? Do you have a legitimate argument to expand the law and jurisdiction? Case in point would be the recent Third Court of Appeals opinion where creative lawyers said, hey, wait a minute, an association isn't a person under Section 2001-038. Therefore, an association cannot file a rule challenge. It was struck down by the Third Court of Appeals, but was it sanctionable? I thought it was rather creative, and it would have been frustrating for me to have to respond to it. And we are admonished to try to minimize the cost of litigation. So I would just ask that before you make some of the jurisdictional arguments, really decide, is this a straightforward administrative appeal? They haven't added a UDJA claim. Can I let that slide? Could you let a case go, if it really is pled properly, without a plea to the jurisdiction? But the worst thing I've ever seen was something that happened recently in a Public Information Act case. I was asked to make and you've heard about it in the updates on open government, the State Fair of Texas case. And I was asked by a client who wanted to remain anonymous to make a Public Information Act request to the State Fair of Texas on the principle that they were supported in whole or in part by public funds, or on the principle that the City of Dallas had a right of access to their information. What happened, however, was they sued our law firm in Dallas County saying, we are not a governmental body. And that went up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals said, well, we got sanctions first, and then it went up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals said, no, the court has jurisdiction. Sent it back downstairs. They non-suited. Then we filed a lawsuit to get the records. We got sanctioned, went up to the Court of Appeals. Court of Appeals said, no, they're just asking for information. That's not a slap suit. And the Supreme Court just denied PEP. So I think we're back down in the trial court now. But in the early part of the case, I was asked, tell me who your client is, and we will non-suit this case against you or dismiss you from the case. And that was extremely troubling because I understood, one, why my client wanted to be anonymous and why they feared retaliation. But I felt that had a significant chilling effect to threaten a lawyer. I mean, to me, it was an admission that we sued you to try to find out who your client was. And that to me was worse than the Rambo tactics, worse than, you know, discovery abuses. That was an actual chilling effect. So I think that one was probably the worst, and I didn't tell them who the client was. And so I don't think I would have done it any differently. I think we're ready to go to the our next question.